Well, three clergymen were in a deep discussion on the best postures for praying while a telephone repairman worked nearby. The first minister said, "Kneeling is definitely the best way to pray." "No," the other minister said, "I get the best results standing with my arms outstretched to heaven." "You're both wrong," said the third minister. "The most effective prayer posture is lying on the floor face down." The telephone repairman could contain himself no longer. "Hey guys," he interrupted, "the best praying I ever did was hanging upside down from a telephone pole." So what is the best way to pray? Today's gospel tells us, and that is to pray with humility, to pray with the proper spirit, the proper attitude of humility of heart, and not to pray like the Pharisee who prayed with pride and arrogance and told God how good he was. So take a look at today's parable. It's one of the best ones in the entire New Testament. It's found in the Gospel of Luke, and it's chapter 18. And St. Luke's Gospel is called the Gospel of Mercy, because there's so many incredible stories of God's mercy in this particular gospel. Now, St. Luke tells us that Jesus taught this particular parable to those who were very self-righteous and who looked down upon everyone else. Maybe he was addressing this to the Pharisees themselves or to anybody who had this poor spirit of pride and arrogance and who also despised other people. Now, the parable is one very interesting because Jesus contrasts two men who went up to the temple to pray. The first one, Jesus says, was a Pharisee. The other was a tax collector. So if you stopped right there, everybody would presume that, of course, the Pharisee, being the religious man, being like the priest or the deacon, he would be the one to emulate. He would be the one to follow the example. Whereas the tax collector, a notorious sinner, oh, obviously, he would not be praying well or properly. So it says that they both went up to the temple to pray. If you've been to Jerusalem, you know Jerusalem is a city built on a hill, and the temple is at the highest part of the hill. So people always had to go up to the temple. They ascended up to the temple in order to pray. So the first was the Pharisee. In the Lord's day, there were 6,000 Pharisees in Israel. And they, again, were the religious leaders, the teachers of the law, and the religious figures. And it says the other was the tax collector. See, the Lord in his parable could not have picked two more opposite people. The tax collectors were hated. They were despised by their fellow members of the Jewish faith because they were working with the Romans. They were taking extra taxes for themselves. They were into extortion and getting bribes and getting money out of their own people, keeping a lot for themselves and giving the rest to, Caesar and Pontius Pilate and whoever else was in charge. So here you have a religious figure and then you have a most despised person. So Jesus said the Pharisee took up his spot in the very front of the temple, and he spoke this prayer to God. Now notice he starts out okay. He says, "Oh God, I thank you." See, so far, so good. But what does he say next? "Oh God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity." That's not a very good way to pray. Because everybody else, he says, is greedy. Everybody's dishonest. Everybody's adulterous. Especially this tax collector. "I'm so glad, Lord, you did not make me like the rest of humanity. Especially that you didn't make me like this tax collector I see in the back trying to pray." So notice, he was not really praying. He was boasting. He was telling God how good he was. His so-called prayer was full of pride and arrogance, and he had contempt of others. He looked down on others. And then He tells God how good he is. He says, God, I fast twice a week. Now that, of course, is going above and beyond. The Jewish people only had to fast one day a year on the Day of Atonement. This Pharisee fasted 2 days a week, which would be Mondays and Thursdays. That's when the Pharisees would fast, because that was the market day. Those were the market days when you'd have the whole crowd come into Jerusalem. So the Pharisees would dress as if they were fasting. They would get more attention, more notoriety on those 2 days a week during the market days. And he says, I pay tithes on my entire income. Tithing is giving 10% to God. Certain things were exempt, but he did above and beyond. He paid tithes on all his income. So that was his prayer to God. Notice it was not about God. It was all about himself. He uses the words I, me, and mine time and time again. So then you have the contrast. Now we get to hear the prayer of the tax collector. It says this tax collector, it said, stayed in the back of the temple. He stood off at a distance. And so we call him the patron saint of those who like to sit in the back of church, okay? So you have a patron saint, and it is this tax collector. I remember seeing a bumper sticker once, and it said, get to church early and find a good seat in the back. I remember seeing that once. So this particular man, he would not even raise his eyes to heaven. He is so sorrowful for his sins. He doesn't even dare to gaze upon the magnificence of God in the temple. It says he beat his breast. To strike one's chest was a sign of sorrow for one's sins, a sign of repentance. We do that at the beginning of Mass during the penitential rite, during the Confiteor. So he beat his breast. And notice his prayer. His prayer is very short. Our prayers don't have to be long. They just have to be humble and sincere. What does he say? Just a few words. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So he asks God to have mercy upon him and says, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the original Greek text, when it says the word a sinner, he said, be merciful to me, the sinner. Thinking of himself as the worst sinner, as the one most in need of God's mercy. Be merciful to me, the greatest sinner, the sinner par excellence, however you interpret it. So notice what he does. He prays with humility. He asks for forgiveness. He shows his sorrow for his sins. He admits that he's a sinner. And he asks the Lord to forgive him. What does Jesus say about these two men? The tax collector went home justified. The word justified in the New Testament is a very important word. It means to be made righteous in the sight of God. It means to be converted, to be saved, to be made pleasing to God. So the tax collector really had a conversion and was given special graces, where Jesus says the former did not go home justified. He did not leave the temple any holier. In fact, he probably left it worse off because he spent all his time comparing himself to others and thinking how better he was than everybody else, instead of comparing himself to the Lord, to God. And so Jesus concludes by saying, whoever exalts himself, like the Pharisee, will be humbled. But if you humble yourself, you'll be exalted. So again, the Pharisee's prayer is filled with self-exaltation and contempt of others, a lack of charity. It's filled with pride and arrogance, and he does not leave the temple with graces. In fact, he loses divine favor. As the Bible says, God resists the proud. But what about the humble? The Bible says, God gives grace to the humble. So the tax collector has self-awareness of his sinfulness, sincere repentance, confession of his sins, a humble demeanor, a proper disposition of heart towards God. Therefore, he receives graces and blessings, conversion, salvation, and justification. So we should always remind ourselves to get back to the ABCs, the heart of Christianity. A is admit that we're in need of God's help. We have to admit we're sinners. B, we have to believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. And C, commit our lives to Christ and his church. Commit ourselves to following Christ and his church. Those are the ABCs. Admit that we're sinners, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and commit ourselves to following him and the church. And if we do that, then when we come to church, we will be converted. We don't look around at others and judge others. What we do is that we compare ourselves not to others, but to the Lord himself, to God himself. As Jesus says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Nowhere does Jesus say, be better than your neighbor. Our job is to become perfect, to become holy, as our heavenly Father is holy. And Bishop Sheen once said, unless we admit that we're sinners, we can never call Christ our Savior.